to episode 18 of Overdam. I'm your host, Patrick Conner, joined alongside Grant Ingham and Hike. Grant, Garrett, how you guys doing?
I'm good, and a long week of Beaver Sports, you know, probably the most active week we've had so far, and, you know, us playing two games, the men's soccer team, and looking forward to talking about all. Garrett, how are you?
Pretty good, you know. I got back to be able to play on the field again, so that's always good. And then, yeah, I'm just ready to see where all the spring teams are headed and how they did this week.
Yeah, as Grant and Garrett kind of hinted on, this has been a very busy week as we wrapped up winter sports as well as started the spring sports season. And don't forget, spring sports season does include both men's and women's soccer, football, as well as track and field. Outdoor season will be getting ready to get started as well. They did not participate this week. So for this episode of the Beaver Dam, we're going to first talk about men's and women's basketball. We'll then hop over to men's soccer, women's soccer, baseball, and then the softball game, unfortunately, was postponed, and so they will not start till next week, and then we will finish it up with football. But let's go ahead and talk about the men's and the women's basketball tournament as they played in their first round of the tournament on Wednesday, March 3rd. The Bluffton University women's basketball team put their season on the line as they hosted the Anderson University Ravens in the quarterfinal round of the HCAC postseason tournament. After a hard-fought battle and an exciting game, the Beavers saw their season come to its conclusion with a stunning 62-60 loss to Anderson. Bluffton finished its 2020-2021 campaign with a 14-6 mark, while Anderson heads to Transylvania this weekend with a 7-6 record.
Just 3.5 minutes into the game, the home team took a commanding 11-2 lead. Those 11 markers came from a plethora of Beavers, including Brianna Gillig, Emma Saltzman, and a 3 by Sammy Shardo. Anderson responded with a 9-0 run of its own, tying the game at 11 apiece. The Ravens hit a late 3 for a 1-point lead, 18-17, heading into the second period.
A minute and 30 seconds into the second quarter, Gillig dialed up a 3 from senior Kylie Brock. Maddie Fitzpatrick hit 2 free throws with 30 seconds remaining to give the Beavers a 30-29 advantage into half.
The Ravens got off to a very hot start in the second half, jumping out to a 36-31 lead. At the 7-minute mark, freshman signal caller Maddie Fitzpatrick knocked down a jump shot thanks to an assist from senior Nora Heminger. Gillig followed up with an old-fashioned 3-point play, knotting the game at 36 apiece. The Ravens went on another scoring run, but Shardo drained her second triple to pull Bluffton within 3. Heading into the final quarter, Bluffton trailed by 3, 48-45.
2 minutes into the fourth quarter, Anderson still controlled the scoreboard, leading Bluffton 52-47. A layup by Brock at the 4:30 mark made it a 3-point game heading into the final stretch. For the next 3 minutes, they traded buckets as the Beavers still trailed by 3 with just under 2 minutes to play. Anderson was able to knock down 5 freebies during the final 40 seconds and seal a 62-60 victory.
4 Beavers put up double digits on Wednesday night as Gillig had a team-high 20 points, followed by Fitzpatrick with 12. The duo of Shardo and Saltzman both netted 10 apiece. Gillig also led the team in rebounds with 14 and her 15th career double-double, while Saltzman held 9 as well. Gillig's first rebound on Wednesday night gave the junior 500 for her career.
The home team won the rebounding battle 40-36. Both teams took care of the ball, while Anderson 6 and Bluffton 8 only committed 14 total turnovers. Bluffton shot 35% from the field, going 18-52, while Anderson edged them out, going 21-56 for 37.5%. Bluffton was efficient from distance, going 4 of 9 for 44.4%, and the Beavers took advantage on the charity stripe, hitting 20 of 24 for 83.3%. The 2021 season is now complete with the exception of the All-Heartland Conference Awards, which are slated to be revealed on Friday, March 12th. Check the women's basketball website during the coming weeks for the updated record and all HCAC release. And we'll have that next week on the Beaver Dam. We'll have the all HCAC awards, hoping that junior Brianna Gillig will win HCAC Player of the Year. She definitely has a very good case for it. But unfortunately for this Beavers team, they saw their season come to an end against a very good and balanced Anderson team. But it was a little bit of a shock to see their season come to an end on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was definitely shocking. I didn't think it's hard to beat. I mean, it was a rubber game between the teams playing a third time, and it was just a bit heartbreaking to see them lose at home like that, and they just couldn't really get over the hump and get that lead at any point in the second half. And just a frustrating way to end the year with a team that had a much higher ceiling, I think, than going out in the quarterfinals.
And this team was a lot more deep than we really thought it was going to be, but we are going to lose big key player seniors in Nora Heminger and Kylie Brock and Abby Parkins. What do you think this basketball team looks like next year without those three?
I mean, Beavers still have Gillig for another year, so that's always a plus. And then Saltzman as well is coming back for her senior year. And then you have freshmen such as Taylor Mallison and Maddie Fitzpatrick who be looking to step up into bigger roles next year. And then you have junior Sammy Sharda sophomore Sammy Sharda coming back for her junior year next year, and hoping that she can become a little more consistent on the scoring end, which will always be a plus for the Beavers.
Yeah, this team definitely will bring back a lot. They're definitely going to miss. We kind of talk about just how much Nora Heminger brings to this team, and I think for the Beavers, it's going to be finding someone else that can do all the little things that Nora does.
I think another part is we went into the year. The biggest question was who's going to help Brianna Gillig, and down the stretch, in that game Wednesday night, it was that question really became, you know, another vocal point that we thought we had figured out, but nobody. I mean, it was a lot of Gillig shooting, and nobody really else stepped up around her. And that's a problem when you're playing a well-coached Ravens team like that, that is going to focus in on Gillig. And she still got hers, but nobody really stepped up around her. And that's going to be the biggest question next year, is who replaces Nora Heminger, and then who is going to be that secondary scorer. Can Sammy Sharda become a 15-point-a-game scorer and really, really boast herself to being, another elite player on this Beavers team?
Yeah, we also don't know the type of recruits Coach Shuttler's bringing in. I mean, you look at the freshman class this year, and you see some huge players in Maddie Fitzpatrick and Taylor Mallison, who had huge years that we weren't really expecting to play as many minutes, as well as you have Angel Schneider, who played some big minutes as well. So you never know what type of freshman class that Coach Shuttler might be bringing in to be able to help and maybe give a little extra background to be able to help Brianna Gillig have that second scoring option. But let's move over here to men's basketball, as they lost a tough one on Wednesday, March 3rd, seeing their season come to its conclusion. While it was a close game from tip to the final buzzer, the Grizzlies held on to defeat the Beavers 55-51. With the loss, Bluffton fell to the final record of 11-5, while Franklin will now move on to face Manchester, who defeated Anderson University by a score of 64-63 in the HCAC semifinals this Saturday.
The Beavers started out hot from deep in the first half, shooting a startling 45% from behind the three-point line. Guard Jameel Cosby led the charge with 9 points, shooting 2 of 4 from deep. Backcourt partner Desmond Brown added 6 of his own thanks to 2 of 3 from distance. Sophomore A.J. Kenny tossed in his own 4 points to go along with 2 rebounds. Marcus Peaks put work in his 5 minutes on the court, scoring 4 of 4 points on 2 of 3 from the field. Despite the Beavers' strong half, they trailed the Grizzlies 31-28.
The second half was tough for both teams, with neither squad shooting over 40% from the field. Reserve guard Mike Kendner had a big half, willing the Beavers to stay in the game with 6 huge points as he knocked down 2 clutch threes. Cosby and Brown both added 4 points in the second stanza. Despite the effort on both ends of the court, the home team could not get over the hump while dropping a 55-51 decision.
Bluffton finished just 19 of 57, 33.3% from the field, compared to 20 of 48, 41.7% from the Grizzlies. Franklin ripped down 8 more rebounds, 40-32, and both teams were exceptional with the basketball, as Bluffton turned it over just 6 times and Franklin 7. The visitors finished with a 32-20 edge in paint points, thanks to 9 of 12 for Peyton Mills, who finished with 18 points on the game.
Cosby and Brown led the Beavers with 13 and 10 points, respectively. Marcus Bruns led the home team with 8 rebounds off the bench.
2020-2021 season is now complete, with the exception of the All Heartland Conference Awards, which will be slated to be revealed on Thursday, March 11th. Check out the men's basketball page during the coming weeks for the updated records and all HCAC release. We will also have that next Sunday on the Beaver Dam with those awards. you have to think that Jameel Cosby and maybe even Desmond Brown and Aaron Rich could have some all HCAC awards coming to them. With Jameel, I believe, has a chance maybe at first team, if not definitely second team. But for this men's basketball team, it was definitely a disappointing loss to a very good Franklin team that they hadn't played all year. And that's weird to say that you're playing a team in the conference tournament that they hadn't played, but faced a very good Franklin team and unfortunately saw their season come to an end and lose some key guys for next year in Aaron Rich and Ronnie James and Desmond Brown. And those are going to be three key guys the Beavers are going to have to look to replace next year.
Yeah, and that one, that one hurt a lot as well. To see both our teams go out on the same night in the same building, it was just a tough matchup for the Beavers. A big, lengthy, you know, Franklin side that just rebounds the crap out of the basketball, and Bluffton did a really good job of limiting them. They had the Grizzlies right where they wanted them. Instead of playing in the 80s, they had them in the 50s, and the Beavers really. I really thought that they could get over the hump, and it was the same situation as the girls' game where they just could not get a bucket in timely fashion, and couldn't get the victory at home.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough loss where you would like to see the Beavers find a way to pull that out, but unfortunately for them, it is a loss. And Garrett, what do you think this team looks like next year? Losing those three key guys, and with Aaron Rich starting since his freshman year, Ronnie James playing key minutes, and Desmond Brown starting since his sophomore year. I mean, these are guys that have played lots of minutes that the Beavers are going to have to look to replace next year.
Yeah, compared to the women's team, the men's team has a little more questions heading into the off season. But Bluffton always does a good job of recruiting and filling in those missing pieces. For the returners next year, you're going to have a to be senior Jameel Cosby, who's always a plus for this team. And then behind that, you really have some questions about who's going to step up. I look at some players such as Mike Kettner, Marcus Bruns, Damian Davis, AJ Kenny, Michael Stallman, all players who've contributed off the bench this year, and hopefully will contribute as possibly starters next year.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, but I think, like you said, Guy Neal always seems to find a way to have a competitive team, especially in the conference. And so for them, it should be interesting to see what guys are going to have to step up, but they're definitely going to have to find some guys to step up. And I think Guy Neal has been the coach here for long enough for a reason, and that's because he always finds a way with the guys and the personnel that he has to be competitive. So we wish them luck next year, and unfortunate to say goodbye to those seniors. But that does wrap up winter sports. We are officially done with winter sports. That's really weird to say. We are, normally springtime is kind of laid back, as normally it's only men's baseball, women's softball, and then outdoor track. But now with football and men's soccer both competing now in this springtime, we're going to be a lot more busy. And so men's soccer started on Tuesday, March 2nd, when they made the short trip to Defiance for the Heartland Conference opener. The bitter cold was high, and high winds did not dampen anyone's spirits as the two rivals were more than happy to brace the elements, playing their first match in over 16 months. Bluffton dropped a heartbreaker when the Jackets found the back of the net early in the second overtime period. Beavers stand 0-1 while Defiance opens its season with a 1-0 mark.
Bluffton held the home team at bay for over 100 minutes before Jaron Castro found the back of the net at the 102-16 mark. He collected a rebound and notched the game winner as Defiance earned the victory. Defiance more than doubled up Bluffton, finishing with a 13-6 advantage in shots, including 5-2 on frame. The Beavers were whistled for two more fouls, 14-12, while DC forced five more corner kicks, 7-2.
Sophomore Tanner Newport put up a valiant effort with four saves and over 102 scoreless minutes between the pipes, but Bluffton's offense was unable to put it in the back of the net. Senior Christian Parker led the Beavers with two shot attempts off the bench.
The Beavers were then back in action for senior day as they battled conference heavyweight Rose Holman on a chilly Saturday, March 6th at Saltzman Stadium. Kelly Takezo found the back of the net at the 3:50 mark, while the Engineers held on off Bluffton for a 1-0 victory. The Engineers stayed perfect at a 2-0 overall and 2-0 in the Heartland Conference, while Bluffton fell to 0-2 and 0-2 in the HCAC with its second straight 1-0 heartbreaker.
Jacob Kiger led the Beavers with 3 shots, including 2 on frame. Sophomore netminder Taryn Newport finished with 5 saves for the home team. Although Rose Holman now holds a perfect 15-0 mark in the all-time series, it marked just the 4th one-goal decision for Bluffton against the Engineers.
Bluffton will travel south down Interstate 75 for a Wednesday night contest at Mount St. Joseph in Cincinnati. It's slated for a 3:30 p.m. kickoff on March 10th. And like it said, the 2-1-0 heartbreakers for the Beavers. You know, Grant, Garrett, we're not going to pretend like we're not on the team. We played in the game. Defiance, we should have won. And I think I'll be the first person to flat out say it. We had a PK that was saved. We also had a couple of tap-ins that missed wide. But, you know, that's the game of soccer, and things don't fall your way, and you just have to look to rebound. But definitely a heartbreaker on Wednesday against Defiance.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it hurts to lose to a rival like that. But I think the way we respond to turning around and playing such a good team as Rose Holman Saturday, it really showed where this team's at, and I think it's in a very positive spot. You know, the upcoming 3 we feel very good about. And I think the positivity around this team and this program is at a different level that hasn't been there since I've been here. Obviously, I've only been here for 2 years, but I'm very happy with the squad we have right now and where it can go this season.
And Garrett, you played in your first 2 collegiate games. What did you think of the first 2 games?
Definitely a strong side, as Grant said, from our team. You know, we're expected to finish at the bottom of the conference. So I mean, what do we got to lose out to prove some doubters? But as Grant said, some winnable matches coming up, and I'm excited to see where us as a team how we build off these 2 solid performances, and hopefully we can net some goals.
Definitely would like to net some goals, but we are going to move over to women's soccer. Their game on Tuesday against Defiance was postponed due to Defiance unable to field a team due to people out because of COVID protocols and as well as some injuries. So that game got pushed back to later in the season. So they did not have their first game until this Saturday when they kicked off its 2020-2021 Heartland Conference slate with a 5-0 loss to Rose Holman. Rose Holman improved to 2-0 on the season and 2-0 in the HCAC, while Bluffton fell to 0-2 overall and 0-1 in the conference.
Rose jumped out quickly with a score at the 4:32 mark, and the Engineer added 2 more goals in the opening stanza for a 3-0 lead at the break. Bluffton was unable to find the back of the net, and Rose tacked on 2 second-half tallies for a 5-0 shutout on Saturday afternoon. Maddie Huffman paced the home team with 3 shots, including 2 on frame. Fellow senior Sienna Sullivan fended off 5 Rose shot attempts.
The Bluffton women will be back at Saltzman Stadium on Wednesday, March 10th for a matchup with Mount St. Joe. Kickoff is slated for a 3:30 p.m. kickoff for them. I mean, definitely not the way that the women's team wanted to start the season, but that Rose Holman team is projected to finish first in the conference. So definitely a hard home opener for the women to have to play the projected number 1 team in the conference.
Yeah, it's a tough game, and that Rose Holman team's a very good side. They were knocking it around really, really well, and it was a very impressive performance from them. And then Beavers couldn't really get out of their own end, and it was just a tough performance from the girls team, but hopefully they respond. They got another tough one Wednesday. MSJ's girls team is a projected top 3 team. So, I mean, it's going to be, not the scheduling Coach Gregory would have wanted, but, you know, just trying to find the positives of these performances there early to build on, and then look at the game similar to what we, the men's team, is doing, is finding the positives and then looking at the winnable games and trying to build on those to perform well in the winnable games.
Yeah, we wish the women luck, and for them, you know, it is a tough way to start the season, but they can get a couple of these tough teams under their way, learn from them, and move on and have some easier competition to end the season and hopefully string together some wins and give themselves a chance to finish high up in the conference standings. But let's move on to baseball. The baseball team had their technically what was supposed to be their home opener. The home opener was moved to Transy, even though the Beavers were classified as the home team where they played their first doubleheader. They do have another game here today against at Mount St. Joe. We do not have results from their games here today, so we'll have that next week for you guys. But the Beavers were back in action for the first time since their 2020 spring trip in Florida. Transylvania spoiled Bluffton's return to the Diamond with a 7-0 shutout in Lexington on Saturday, March 6th. Game two was halted in the 10th inning with the score knotted at 6-6. It is scheduled to resume when the Beavers face off against Transy again on Saturday, April 10th.
Bluffton fell behind 1-0 in the second inning, and Transylvania added three more runs an inning later as the Pioneers led 4-0 after three frames. Two Transy tallies in the seventh and another in the ninth made the final score 7-0.
Reed Rule finished with two of Bluffton's four hits. Fellow senior Garrett O'Reilly took the loss after allowing four runs on six hits in the five innings of work. He fanned three and walked just one. Sophomore Jacob Bulkins also struck out three in just two innings on the bump.
Senior Lenny Winiarski and Adam Duncan both had two hits for the Beavers when the game two was halted for darkness. Winiarski scored twice for the Beavers, who are knotted at 6-6, heading to the 10th inning when the game resumes. Like we said, that second game will resume when they travel back down to Transylvania on Saturday, April 10th, to face off them in their second time that they face them in the regular season. And Beavers were back in action at 1 p.m. today, Sunday, March 7th, against Mount St. Joe. Like I said, we do not have results. We will get that to you next week when we do the Beaver Dam. But definitely a tough way to go. It's supposed to be your home opener. Unfortunately, you have to travel almost 4 hours south down to Lexington, Kentucky, and you see the Beavers lose the first game 7-0, but really rallied and are playing Transy a lot tougher there in that second game with it being tied 6-6 in the 10th.
Yeah, and you know, you can't really do much about the first game. Your ace gets roughed up and you can't really go, can't really get any offense generated. But that second game, it kind of hurts to see three runs scored in the ninth like that when you have a chance to beat a team as good as Transylvania. I think you really got to steal that game. But hopefully they can when that game resumes. And hopefully they can get the win. And hopefully they get some wins today against a team that they're supposed to beat in MSJ down in Prasco Park in Mason. So hopefully they can string some wins together in these upcoming weekends.
Agreed. And hopefully they're able to pull out the wins here today against Mount St. Joe. But let's move over here to the football team, who had a huge 49-14 victory over the Manchester Spartans as it opened up its Heartland Conference slate at Manchester. 35 points in the first half was the key to the Beavers' emphatic 49-14 victory over the Spartans. Bluffton improved to 2-0 overall and 1-0 in the HCAC, while Manchester fell to 0-3 and 0-1 in the HCAC.
After a quiet start, Darian Greeley found the end zone, and Justin Rupp split the uprights to give the Beavers a 7-0 lead at the end of the first. The Beavers' offense sparked early in the second quarter when Greeley found the end zone again and Zachary Nobis connected to Sakari Reese to give the Beavers a 21-0 lead with 8:45 to play in the half. A 65-yard fumble recovery from freshman Montez Archer and a pick six from Marvis McWright pushed the Beavers' lead to 35-0, but Manchester answered back with a 92-yard kickoff return touchdown to make the score 35-7 at the half.
It was a quiet third quarter as Manchester found the end zone at the 9:41 mark, cutting their deficit to 35-14. The Beavers put it on ice in the fourth quarter when Nobis connected with Ryan Markoff and Malik Tucker and had a 58-yard run to secure the 49-14 victory.
Bluffton's defense forced 8 turnovers, including 6 interceptions, which was just one off the school mark set against Earlham in 2012 and Bowling Green in 1932. The 8 turnovers were also one shy of the school record. The Beavers put up 424 yards of total offense compared to just 253 for the Spartans.
Archer stole the show with 3 interceptions and a 65-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. He also led the Beavers with 7 stops. His 3 pickoffs tied Pat Cron and Denvey and Clark for the school record of 3 interceptions in a single game. Junior Loudon Saul Beamer was also in on 7 tackles. Nobis did it with his feet and his arm. The junior completed 14 passes for 220 yards and 2 scores, and he ran the ball 6 times for a team-high 59 yards. Tucker added 58 rushing yards, and Greenlee picked up 48 on the ground. Reese hauled in 5 passes for 87 yards and score, while Markov caught 4 balls for 79 yards.
Bluffton welcomes Anderson University to Saltzman Stadium next Saturday, March 13th, for the 2021 home lid lifter. Kickoff is slated for 1:30 p.m., but heck of a game by the Beavers. We saw them play one game in the fall where they played extremely well. We saw Darian Greeley break school records, and here today they picked up right where they left off in the fall with a huge win over the Manchester Spartans.
Yeah, my jaw was dropped when I saw the final score after our game yesterday. Saw 49-14. It's just a crazy performance from the Beavers. 8 turnovers forced. We talked about the defense in the season preview and how important they were going to be, and how about 8 turnovers? I can't ask for much more. And they only gave up 7 on the defensive end, 7 on special teams. They'll fix that. And then Zach Nobis is another big story about him really grabbing the reins of the starting job. Thirst for 220, and that's very impressive for him to really open up the pass game. And surprised they couldn't run the ball as much as they have in the past, but Manchester's run defense is apparently pretty good. So, a very, very positive start for Bluffton. And they go into next week, Anderson, who is preseason ranked 7th, and Manchester ranked 6th. So, obviously, the Beavers will be favored in that one. So, hopefully, 2-0 start would be very, very impressive for this Beavers team.
It was a heck of a way for the Beaver football team to get started, and I definitely think Zach Nobis has took over as QB1 and has said that it's my position as the junior, and I think his competition last year, and Ryan Markoff has found his new position at wide receiver. He had 79 yards receiving and a touchdown yesterday, so for him you can't complain as well. But this was really a very balanced attack. They had a lot of yards, but also with 8 turnovers, they had very favorable field position as well. But they really, it was very balanced between the run game and the pass game.
Yeah, just like I said, very impressive, and hopefully they can continue that. And, they beat Anderson last year, shut him out 13-0, and then last year beat him again. So hopefully we can make it 3 in a row and really – set a message to the rest of the conference that this Beavers team is a real contender.
Beavers have looked good so far, but that does wrap up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Check out previous podcasts, search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, the WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, bluftonwit.com, and subscribe. This has been Patrick Spillman, joined alongside with Grant Ingle and Garrett Heitkamp, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.